If you have your Bibles and you're able to stand, let's go back to our text, Psalms 119. Lord willing, we'll finish up this verse of Psalms 119. Look into our verses tonight. This has been a blessing as I've studied and as I've been looking into these verses and what it really means and how it can really apply to our lives. Psalms 119, we're going to begin reading again there in verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. And then tonight, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not my law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for those that are here again, faithful to your house tonight. It's a blessing to my heart to see so many of God's people back again to God's house on a Sunday night. And we pray for those that are not feeling well, those that are battling illness, those that are battling sickness. Well, we pray for them, Lord, that you would give them grace and healing and rest and recovery. Lord, we're looking forward to seeing them back with us in your house again. Lord, we just pray that you be with them and bless them. Be with our missionaries. Continue to protect them. Continue to keep them safe on the fields that you've called them to. Lord, we pray that you'll bless our services tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to learn from your word tonight. Apply it to our hearts. Lord, maybe the Holy Spirit will convict us of something we need to correct or to encourage to do better or more of. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you just bless our service tonight. Lord, bless the words that we hear tonight. More they be speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, as the writer, you may be seated, I'm sorry. As the writer ends this verse of Psalms 119, the focus is shifted to the last benefit of the Bible. The acceptance and happiness of God. God wants to look down on those who are striving to be closer to him and love righteously and bless them. God wants to be able to shine his glory on you. It is a desire of God to bless you. He wants to be a blessing to you. He wants to do great things for you. He wants to help you, as our pastor read verses from a text in a few weeks ago as he preached from Deuteronomy. There's a choice to be made, and choose life or you can choose death, and all of the things that God desired to do for those that chose life. He wants to be able to bless you. Unfortunately, we know that there are those who disregard the Bible and disregard the Word of God. We know that there are those who are truly children of God, and yet they have chosen or choose not to follow the words that God has given to us. They choose not, as we saw this morning, to allow God to physically move them to where they need to be. They have chosen not to allow God to be their deciding factor, the Word of God to be the deciding factor in their decisions and in their spiritual lives, in their physical lives as well. And I believe the writer has become saddened because of this. Just think about the elation that he has in verse number 129. The words of God are wonderful. And he desires it for his own heart and life. And then he looks to others who have the same word of God, and yet they don't see it. Yet they don't experience it. Yet they don't have the same joy. One of the things we teach our teenagers, and I understand that some kids like to do some activities, some kids don't like to do other activities, and that's natural. Some kids don't like to go bowling, and some kids like to go bowling. Corey, he's a bowler, man. He likes to bowl, man. He doesn't even need the bumpers anymore. He's getting pretty good, and him and Landon get real competitive with that. And there's some activities that some kids like to do, and then some activities that others don't like to do. We had one year, we did like a paintball, but instead of using paintballs, we used eggs. We had hundreds and hundreds of eggs. Kids loaded them up, and we had walls out there, and they were just having a good time. It was fabulous. I had a fabulous time with that. Some didn't like it. Some didn't. We'd always teach our teenagers, at all of these activities, you choose to have fun. It may not even be an activity you necessarily enjoy to do, but you can choose to have fun, or you can choose not to have fun. Now, there's always those kids that are just, I mean, absolutely just too cool to participate. They're at this level of sophistication and coolness, and so that any activity that's being done, it's not cool. So therefore, they do not enjoy that activity. And then there's those other kids that they have no self-awareness about them, and they just go all out. They just go all out. The Word of God is so precious. And the writer understood that the Word of God was so precious, and especially precious to him. And it was such a guide to him. It was a light to his path. It showed him his sin. It showed him where he needed to go. It showed him where he could be better. It showed him his life. It showed him so many things. And he would look to his right, and he would look to his left, and other people were holding the same Word of God. It has the same power, yet it was not being utilized, yet it was not being done, accepted as the way it ought to be. Our brother back here has a Corvette. If you don't drive a Corvette at least 100 miles, at least once in your lifetime of owning it, what was the point of having it? If you have 700 horsepower and you only use 100, why not just buy a 100-horsepower car? Why? So we see in verses 129 verses to 130, the wonderful testimonies. It gave us a picture of the promise to keep them, and they're freely and readily available. And they give that light, and they give that wisdom and understanding. We saw in verses 131 to 132 that judgment of desire, the Word of God should create a desire, a thirst, a longing for us to want more and more and more. It should create in us a desire to be judged worthy of the same blessing as those others who have and are loving his name and are in the Bible as much as they were. Remember that word uses. It's only time in the Bible, right here in this text. It's a verdict pronounced judicially to be worthy of right or wrong. This morning we saw that order of protection, literally asking the Word of God to physically move my steps and to physically help the individual to not allow sin to have dominion in their life. And that power, that strength from God, from His Word, gives us deliverance from that oppression, and it helps us to stay firm and to be obedient to God's Word. But then we, knowing all of those things, we see lastly, fourthly, of this section, the shining sadness. We see this contrast between light and dark. First of all, we see there, verse number 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. The picture here and the idea here is a look of love or admiration. Don't you love it, parents, when you have a well-behaved child? Some of us have had some children that took a little bit extra encouragement, shall we say, to choose the right path. And then there were some of those children that, especially if you had a brother or sister, some of us might have even had a brother or sister that was probably like mom and dad's favorite. So mom and dads aren't supposed to have their favorites, but come on. If you have brothers and sisters, you know mom and dad has favorites sometimes. And so we like it. It's enjoyable when we're at a restaurant and someone will come over and say, wow, or they'll give you a compliment about your children, and then you have to buy them dessert because they just made you look good. And so the Bible says this is what that picture is. It's a picture of love or an admiration. It's the idea of a parent to a well-behaved child, or maybe you've done well at your job, and so your boss comes and gives you a promotion or a bonus or something like that. It's that look of love and admiration. You see, as we get closer to God, as we study God's Word more, and it becomes more of an integral part of our life, and if you were to take the Word of God from us, it would be like sucking the life out of our Christian life. And we want God to look down. And can you imagine when Jesus Christ said, and God said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? You can't even say it without a smile. God is looking down and he sees Job with a glow upon his face. You can look down and he looked to the world in Genesis, and the world was wicked. It was wicked everywhere. And man was doing his own thing. It was wicked. It was violent. But Noah, grace in the eyes of the Lord. It drew a smile to his face, I believe. And we know that David was considered or was called a man after God's own heart. The Bible describes Abraham as his friend, capital F. He really literally named him friend. And so this is what God says. He wants that in his life. And I imagine as the writer is taking the time to read the Word of God, I believe that as we read the Word of God, we spend time in the Word of God, it makes him happy. He likes it when we spend time in God's Word. It brings a smile to his face. It brings some joy to his heart because Jesus Christ came to this earth. He shed his blood for us. It's the only way to heaven. And you find it from here, from the Word of God. You find your instructions. You find the peace that he gives to us from the Word of God. And so he says in our text here, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. He says, I want to serve the Lord. I want to look. And in that way, it reminds us of Moses on the mountain. Remember, the Bible says Moses had spent so much time with God and in the glory of God that as he came down off of the mountain, the Bible says his face shone so much so that the people had to put a veil over his face. They couldn't even look on God's glory reflected and emanating from Moses. God had shone upon him. He had such a close relationship with God that God gave Moses a glimpse, a backwards glimpse of his glory, and it shone upon his face. On Wednesday night, we looked at Stephen, and the Bible says that the people looking around that were around him could literally see a glow upon his face. Where did he get that from? He got it from God. God decided to look down with joy to his servant. The fact the Bible says that as Stephen was looking up into heaven, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was standing for him. It's a sign of honor. It's a sign of respect. People have asked, why do we stand to read the Word of God? Because the Bible says in Ezra, when the Word of God was brought out and they brought out to read the Word of God, the Bible says the people stood as the prophets as they read the Word of God. It's a sign of respect when we do our Pledge of Allegiance, when we sing the national anthem, we stand, we cover our heart because it's a sign of respect. We like it. We love it. It gives us a glow within our heart and life. But God says, I want to do the same thing in our heart and life. And so illuminate me for it. But you know what the light does? Then it does. It reveals the sin. It reveals the things that we can get better. As we already read this morning, Psalms 139, verse 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. You see, we had a house just north in Surprise. We built this house. It was fun. It was back when you were allowed to pick everything. So we picked a tile. We picked everything. Well, we picked this tile that kind of looked like concrete. We kind of wanted that. We were kind of going for that industrial kind of vibe. So we picked this concrete looking tile, and it would have been fabulous. It would have been fabulous in there. Well, we got down to about 2 weeks out from our house being done. They called us up and said, if you want to close on your actual close date, you're going to have to pick different tile. Well, this was during the COVID thing, and so we were not able to. They said, you can't come into the place. We'll send you some pictures of what we have that can allow you to have your house at closing time. Well, she picked something out, and it was an upgrade for us. They gave us this ceramic tile. It was like a three-tier upgrade from it was fabulously expensive tile that they gave to us as a free upgrade because they couldn't get the stuff that we had picked to be done on time. But the problem was it was a really light gray. And it was more white than it was any other color. And it was terrible for showing dirt. I mean, you'd mop the floor in like 4 minutes. And my wife would come back. I thought you were going to mop the floor. I did. Oh. Okay. Where's the dirty at? It just shone everything. It shone every dirty. So this is what we did for our house now. We got a house now with brown tile. So it can be filthy and we don't even know it. I'm kidding, of course. We mopped it. But you see, when God shines upon us, he shines upon us with a smile, but it also helps us to know how we can be better. how we can grow, how we can continue to mature. That's what the Bible says here. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. I want you to be happy with me, God, but also teach me thy statutes. Teach me, show me, encourage me, help me to grow. The Bible says in Psalms 51, verse 9 through 10, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, so that when I have that right spirit, you can shine and show me and have that love for me. Second of all, we see, teach me thy statutes there. Teach me thy statutes. It gives the idea of studying more. When we read the Word of God and we open the Word of God, we ought to have the desire to allow God's Word to teach us from the inside. That's why the Bible says in later texts in the New Testament that the Word of God may be throughly furnished unto all good works. From the inside out. When you read your Bible, you got to read the Word of God with expectation to learn. You might have read the same thing that you've read maybe 15 times before, but you can always learn something new. My professor at college was teaching our class, and he taught about the time when he was in preaching class, and he said, when I was in preaching class, we had our professor, and he said, every single one of you has to write a sermon from John 3:16. Every single one of you, write a sermon from John 3:16. He said he had a gentleman that was with his class, and he was toward the end of the class, and so lots of other men had already preached, and so he got up to the pulpit and to the pulpit within the class there, and he said, man, we've been hearing lots and lots of sermons from John 3:16, so there's really nothing left for me to preach about. It's all been covered. The professor stood up and said, son, you failed the class. There's always something you can learn new from the Word of God. To shine upon it, reveal more, to learn more things. The more we learn, the more we shine, the more that Christ will shine upon us. It will help us to do that. We got to think about it this way. You got to read the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says kings are commanded to read the Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 17, 18 through 20. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand nor to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. If God commanded the kings to read the Bible daily, does he not want us to do the same thing? Are we not kings and priests with him? God says, I want you to read the Word of God. You want me to be happy? Do what I ask you to do. How many of you ever had your kids do chores? We had chores. There were things that we were expected of us. You have a happy relationship with your mom and dad so long as you do your chores. It's only when we neglect those is when we get away from it. It's only when we neglect God's Word and get away from God's Word that he doesn't shine upon us as he desires to shine upon us. Verse 136, in my opinion, one of the saddest verses of the Scripture. There are others, but one of the saddest verses of Scripture. Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. First of all, we should have the desire to make Lord's shine face shine upon us, and we should have a desire to learn his statutes and commandments. But also, thirdly, when we get close to God, it brings us tears of sadness. This phrase here, rivers of waters run down my eyes, it literally means floods of tears. It was an attitude of brokenness and an attitude of burden, because here was a man who was in God's Word. He was reading God's Word. It was precious to him. It was something that he couldn't live without. This was the most important thing within his life. It was something that he took with him everywhere he went. And this was the Word of God. It was precious to him. And I like it when God's Word, and I get into God's Word, and God shines his face down upon me. And then he looks around and he sees his Christian brothers. He sees his brothers and sisters in Christ. And it seems like there's a little bit less regard for the Word of God. There's less desire for the Word of God. doesn't hold the same thing. And he has a desire. He literally cries and he literally sheds tears for his brothers and sisters who maybe are struggling in their Christian life. And if only they would get into God's Word more. If only they would spend more time at the altar. If only they would spend more time with a desire to get into God's Word and to learn and to study. There are those, he can look around and see they're struggling in their decisions in their life. And they look, and yet they have the Word of God, and they neglect the Word of God in their decision-making times and the choices that they have to make in their life. And they lose opportunities to be a witness and a testimony because they don't know the Word of God as they ought to. They're not ready to give out the gospel. And his eyes, and he sheds tears at night, and he sheds tears at his knees because he sees there are many brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling, and it's because they've neglected the Word of God. Here we have the most important tool in a Christian's life, the most powerful weapon that we have to be able to resist the devil, to be able to have victory over sin, to be able to be the testimony that I ought to have, and they never pull it metaphorically from the sheath. They always leave it there, and they don't utilize it like the way that they ought to utilize it. Have you ever seen somebody struggling and you knew the easy way to do it and you try to tell them the easy way to do it and they're like, no, I don't care, I'm doing it my own way. And you say, well, okay, do it the hard way if you want to. Anybody ever said that before? And then you sit back and you're like, oh man, I'm trying to help you, but you're really struggling right now. And if you just listen to me, I can help you get this done probably an hour sooner, or you're working way harder than you ought to work. You ever seen people like that? And you just kind of feel bad for them. And you think, man, if they would just heed my instructions, you know, we would spend a lot less money on gas if you just listened to me and the instructions and get off when I told you to get off the freeway. Kidding, of course. But I wonder how many times God looks down upon his children and he sees them struggling. He sees their walk with God isn't right. And he looks over and he sees their Bible and been opened all week long. And they're struggling. It breaks the heart of God. I've given you the Word, and you neglect it. You don't open it as you ought to. It doesn't have the same impact in your life as it ought to in your Christian life. He said, it breaks my heart to know that they have that tool, and they don't use it. It's for those, his heart breaks for those that continually reject Christ. Have you ever had a burden for someone to be saved and not be saved? My father-in-law would always teach us, if you bring a visitor, make him sit on the outside chair. Don't let him sit on the inside. You're just giving him an excuse to not come to the altar. They sit on the outside, then maybe they'll come down the altar. It's easier for them to get out. That's how he led his uncle to the Lord. He got saved and began to lead all of his other uncles to the Lord. His uncles, his brothers, her uncles to the Lord. And one of his brothers was really hard-headed, and he started to get them to come to church, and their whole family would all come. They'd have seven or eight people. They'd all come, and he made them sit on the outside pew every single time. And he physically told them, literally told them, you guys are making me sit on the outside pew because you want me to go down there, don't you? Yes. And he fought that and fought that and fought that, and finally he went down and got saved, trusted in Christ. Doesn't it break your heart when you see visitors come and fill the pews and yet none accept Christ? They've chosen to go back out into the world and they've heard the gospel. They've heard salvation. They've heard the freeness. They've heard the offer that Christ gives to them. And yet they've rejected it. And if an accident takes place and they are stepped into eternity, they'll step into eternity in a place called hell. And it breaks your heart to know that. It should break our heart to know that there are those who come and hear the gospel and yet never accept Christ. But there ought to be a break. There ought to be a brokenness for the wayward and backslidden Christian. Perhaps we can think about, perhaps we can know someone who might be, who used to be faithful even to here to Harvest Baptist Church, and for whatever reason or not, they're no longer faithful to the church anymore. And have we ever considered, Lord, help them get back into God's Word. Give us a brokenness. They're struggling out in the world. They're struggling trying to go their own way. And yet, they don't get into God's Word. We can see from our writer here, rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. He has read himself the disastrous effects of sin. He's read the disastrous effects of what a life is without the Word of God. And he knows the destruction that is coming. And he chooses not to acknowledge it. It breaks his heart. In fact, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41 through 51 says, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city." The writer of that chapter and of that scripture understood full well that the children of Israel were going away from God. They weren't listening to the word of God, and it broke his heart that Christians were struggling. That they were struggling. When was the last time we spent our time at the altar and genuinely shed tears for a broken or a backslidden brother or sister in Christ? When was the last time we shed some tear at our prayer altar at our home and said, "God, would you convict them? Would you bring them back to fellowship with the Lord? Would you give me opportunity to open the Word of God and be a blessing to them?" It's the last time we shed a tear. When was the last time I maybe looked through our membership book and said, "I haven't seen them in so long, Lord. Would you bring him back to your house? Would you bring him back to fellowship with the Lord?" Maybe we can think of a lost person that we've known for years. Say, "Lord, save them. Save that person. Give me courage." Why? Because they keep not thy law. It was a brokenness or for a condemnation of eternal separation. My friends, today hell is a real place. People go there. All the time. People have asked me before about different people. Are they in heaven today? Do you believe they're in heaven today? The only way they're in heaven is if they've repented of their sins and called upon Christ, their Lord and personal Savior. It's the only way. I've been to funerals. I've been to funerals where people didn't know if they were saved or not. And there was a brokenness because there was an unsurety of their salvation. And now there's a fear that they'll never spend eternity with them again. It's a brokenness. But also a brokenness for those that should know. We remember and we can see. If you have your Bibles, turn back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 14. I'd like us all to see this. Jeremiah chapter 14. I want to read these scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 17. As Jeremiah begins to pour out his heart for his people. And he sees the brokenness of his people and their waywardness. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 7, beginning verse 17. "Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, Let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. If I enter in the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into the land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And is there no healing for us? We look for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there not any among the vanities of Gentiles that can cause rain, or can the heathen heavens give shower? Art thou not he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things." You see, my friends, I have to ask the question, where's the brokenness of God's people for those who do not have the same desired heart for the Word of God? Where's the brokenness for the wayward Christian? Where's the brokenness for the wayward brother or sister? Where's the brokenness for the pews that are not full? Where's the brokenness for the lost? Where's the brokenness for the rejection? Where's the brokenness, my friends? The prophets shed tears for those. Why? Because they knew the preciousness of the Word of God. They knew the salvation that the Word of God offered. So we come to the end with the realization that the closer we get to God and the deeper into His Word, the greater burden we get for those who do not. Very likely, we all know someone who is lost. They may not be a best friend, but there's a good likelihood that every one of us, if we were honest, could name the name of a lost person. When was the last time you shed tears for them? Shed genuine tears for them. Perhaps we knew someone that used to be faithful. I've been in full-time ministry now for 22 years, 21 years, and I've heard it over and over. I'm sure pastors heard it many times. Well, I used to be faithful. I used to teach a class. I used to come to church on Sunday night. I used to come to church on Wednesday night. I used to go on visitation. I used to read my Bible the way I ought to. I used to bring people to church. Last time we were broken for a wayward Christian, a wayward individual. Perhaps even we know one of God's children who are not experiencing all the benefits the Bible has for them. There used to be a time when people would come to an old-fashioned altar and shed tears. We ought to have the same burden as the psalmist. When have we shed tears for others? Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. As we consider God's Word, we consider the preciousness of God's Word. We consider the goodness of God's Word, the blessings of God's Word. All that God's Word does for us and through us, when we consider it and experience it in our own Christian life, does it not break our hearts for those who have chosen to go away from God, who have chosen the things of the world over the things of the world, who have chosen the faithfulness of the flesh rather than the faithfulness of God, who have chosen the pleasures of the world and the pleasures of sin over the pleasures of church, the pleasures of the Bible? When was the last time we shed a tear, Christian? When was the last time you spent time in your altar, at this altar, at your home, begging God for a lost soul, begging God for a wayward Christian? Perhaps we know someone tonight. I would encourage you tonight to come and pray for a lost soul this week, tonight. I would encourage you to come and pray for a wayward Christian. Say, Lord, help me to be encouragement to get them back to the right relationship with God. Help me to give the gospel to see a soul saved. As we stand to our feet, as the music begins to play tonight,